hear about that man, Jacob, as Yvonne comes forward to read the scripture. Thank you. Ah, here she comes. I'll just make it a little bit lower for you, shall I? There we are. Up you come. Thanks.
The reading is taken from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 22. Genesis 28, 10 to 22. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it on his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offsprings. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, may we be aware of heaven open over us now as we hear and receive your word for today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So it was October 1989, I was returning from a business trip to Boston in the United States. I'd stayed the weekend with Kathy and her family in Vermont and been able to see the amazing colours of the fall in New England. Kathy had just been ordained. The plane flying back was at 30,000 feet. It was an RAF VC-10 passenger plane. The seats bizarrely facing backwards, apparently safer if the plane crashes. I wasn't too sure about that. And it's very weird when you take off and land because you move the wrong way. I was half asleep when I had an overwhelming sense of God's presence, a closeness to heaven. It was not just because we were at 30,000 feet, but it was a spiritual closeness, as if heaven was open right over that VC-10 plane. God was speaking to me. A new direction. The question of ordination was on my mind. And in that conversation with God, he encouraged me to go and see my vicar to talk about it. There's a bit of a similarity with Jacob's dream of an open heaven. more of which in a moment. Jacob is our dreamer for the day. So let's remind ourselves about who Jacob was. Keith's already given us a bit of an insight. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. 2,000 years before Jesus, Abraham was called by God to leave home and to go to the land of Canaan. God had promised Abraham that his descendants would number as many or greater than the number of stars in the sky. Like particles of dust on the ground, they'd be uncountable. Yet Abraham was in old age and had no child, but miraculously to him became a son, Isaac, late in Abraham's life. Isaac went on in his life to have twins, Esau and Jacob, Esau the firstborn. Jacob was born grasping the heel of his brother Esau, who was born just before him as a twin. And Jacob means heel catcher, which sounds okay, but it also can have an alternative understanding in Hebrew, meaning a supplanter, one who takes the place of another. As Keith said, Jacob was quite a mixed up person, good and bad working together, and at his early age he was a bit of a trickster. And of course many of us know the famous story where Jacob tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright. Jacob went on to fool his sight impaired father Isaac that he was in fact Esau. He put goat skins on him to be like his hairy brother, because Jacob, as it said, was a smooth man. So, partially sighted, sight impaired, Isaac reached out and blessed his son Jacob, thinking it was Esau. This blessing was irrevocable. The younger was to be the head of the family. The line would go on through him. Esau, to say the least, was a bit put out. He wanted to kill Jacob. So Jacob fled to his uncle Laban, and with the task of finding a wife to continue the line so that the promise would be fulfilled. En route is when Jacob had his dream. It's a somewhat strange image of Jacob, this one. Fresh from a ladybird book, maybe. He looks more like he's in year 8 at school than a man who'd just tricked his father and was fleeing to find a wife. Anyway, in his dream, Jacob saw the stairway to heaven with angels ascending and descending. It was an open heaven over him, an open heaven. And God repeated the promise that he'd given to his grandfather, Abraham, that he would have countless descendants like the dust on the ground. God would be with Jacob. This is what God was promising him through this dream, that he would provide for Jacob, that he would protect Jacob, despite the mixedness of who he was. God was going to help him to come through. And the dream gave revelation. The dream gave encouragement to Jacob. Two of the things that Keith mentioned last week that dreams can bring to us, dreams that are from God. So much water flowed under the bridge of Jacob's life. Not time to go into all of this now. You can read the story for yourself as you read on through Genesis. But his life was a roller coaster. Suffice to say, the tables were turned on him by Laban. Jacob the trickster was tricked into marrying the wrong daughter. Jacob was blessed. He became wealthy. He went back home. Things were resolved with Esau. And he was the father of 12 sons that we see in this representation on the screen. They were the founders of the tribes of Israel, and God had been true to his promise in the dream all those years ago for Jacob, that he would have countless descendants. So now a bit of a step change. What do we see here? Some figs, an image from the New Testament. And there is a connection with Jacob's dream, which is the direction that I'm heading on now. Can you remember who Jesus saw under a fig tree? Nathanael, that's right. Jesus spoke into Nathanael's life as if he knew him, even though it was their first meeting. And Nathanael was amazed and believed in Jesus. Jesus said, "You believed because you saw me under a fig tree. But you'll see even greater things. You'll see heaven open, angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Does it sound familiar? Jesus was linking himself to Jacob's dream, the promise of many descendants and blessings flowing. So you and I, followers of Jesus, are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We live under an open heaven. And this is how. At Jesus' baptism, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came upon Jesus. And a voice from heaven came, the Father affirming Jesus as his son. Affirmed in his identity and being called into his ministry. Jesus' ministry where heaven touched earth through Jesus' words, through healings and through miracles. And finally, as Jesus died upon the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, breaking that separation from the Holy of Holies, opening the way to the presence of God in heaven. And after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falling upon all flesh. And as believers in Jesus, we live permanently under an open heaven. It's not closed to us. It's open all of the time. As believers in Jesus, everywhere we place our feet, then heaven touches earth because the Holy Spirit is in each one of us who trusts in Jesus. Jesus has opened heaven to us. We are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As followers of Jesus, we are among those countless numbers that God promised to Abraham would live on earth as bringers of heaven to earth, of showing the way to God. And now we have to take hold of what's been made possible. The open heaven is objectively there all the time, but how do we take hold of it? How do we move in that reality? So I'm going to mention briefly five keys to take hold of the benefits of an open heaven. Each of these keys is really a sermon in its own right, so it's a bit of an overview, a quick run through some of the keys that enable us to take hold of the reality of the open heaven. So key number one, a basic prerequisite, is the hunger for God. To have that hunger. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger for God, for they shall be satisfied. To do so, we need to take time to rest in God's presence, to be still before him, as we do Sunday by Sunday, as we worship here together. So are we hungry for God this morning, in this time of opportunity to be set aside to rest in God's presence? The second key is to meditate on God's word and to obey it. To spend time reading God's word and to apply it to our lives, to know and to show God's word. Because that can seem an overwhelming task when we pick up a Bible so full of so many words. But just reading a small chunk each day, it's amazing how it builds up over time. And what's on the page comes to live within us, to transform our minds, to bring our minds into God's way of thinking. That we would live and make decisions according to God's ways. So key number three, we need to keep a short account with God. The open heaven is always available to us, but we can shut ourselves out from that when we walk away from God's ways. So week by week, as we come together, we have that opportunity to confess our sins, to review the week, and we can be reassured again of the gift of forgiveness which Jesus offered to each one of us from the cross. Objectively, we are forgiven people, but we take hold of that truth again. And of course, any day of the week, in any place, we can do that. We can turn back to God and to ask him to strengthen us to walk in his ways. As the Lord said, an amazing promise. He said he'd shut the heavens because of the people's disobedience. But he said, if my people who are called by name, my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. A promise to us. He said, and he goes on to say, and I will heal their land. The fourth key is faithfulness in financial giving. There's no more tangible way of showing our dependence on God. It's interesting, after his dream, when Jacob had that amazing revelation of God under that open heaven, and then determined to live out of a close relationship with God, he pledged to give God a tenth of all he had, which precedes the law of Moses that talks about tithing. Jacob made that pledge as a sign that he knew God would provide for him. And in the last book of the Old Testament, God speaks through Malachi with a promise. Bring the whole tithe into my storehouse, and I will open the floodgates of heaven. An amazing promise to us of the blessings that flow when we're faithful with our finances. We can't outgive God. And I think, you know, keep telling us on the news that we're moving into a time of financial squeezing. There's no financial squeeze in heaven. And then finally, the fifth key, commitment to Jesus and dying to self. Stephen, he was one of the the deacons in the early church set aside to serve the widows and to help the poor. But he was also an amazing evangelist. And unswervingly he proclaimed Jesus under the threat of death. And we're told that heaven was open over him. As we proclaim Jesus and take risks for him, the more we will experience the reality of that open heaven. So, five keys to taking hold of the reality of the open heaven. Just to go over them once more as a reminder. To hunger for God and to rest in his presence. To meditate on God's word and to obey it. To repent of our sins. To be faithful in financial giving. And to have that unswerving commitment to proclaiming Jesus and dying to self as we do. So in conclusion, Jesus' death has opened heaven for us for all eternity, which begins now here in our daily lives. The resources of heaven are open to us here and now. Let's take hold of the keys and experience more and more of the blessings of God, hearing him speak to us, including in dreams. And then to make big footprints for heaven on earth, wherever we place our feet this week.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, David, very much indeed for that word. Thank you. I was thinking and praying earlier about today and how best to respond to the word. And actually, I've got these verses from Revelation, which came to me, where Jesus says, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." So, the way is open. That's the word. The way is open to heaven, not only in eternity, but open right now. I wonder what you've brought to church this morning, as it were, in your own heart. Whatever struggles and issues, the way is open to Jesus. The way is open for us to bring to him our situations, our problems. In fact, I want to add that there's opportunity to come forward at the end of this service to be prayed for. Sue Ball's going to be down here with a small team. Whatever it is, then bring it forward, as it were. The way is open to God. So I'll leave that thought with you right now. Let's just go and pray for a few moments. Yeah, Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you that we have access to heaven. Thank you for the picture of the angels ascending and descending, all that it speaks of your provision for us. Lord, free us up to come to you, not to hold back because of the past or for any other reason, but to come to you in faith. And so, Father, we pray for your help, for your Holy Spirit to come upon us now. Come, Holy Spirit, and encourage us, prompt us to move forward to you in prayer. Holy Spirit, reveal the presence of Jesus with us and, as it were, waiting to receive us. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.